The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Back here on Sports Nightly, Kyle Crooks with you, joined by a very special guest. We've talked a lot about the coaching changes here for Husker football, and specifically on the defensive side. With that, we welcome in studio for the first time, that is Roy Manning, coming here from San Diego State. And of course, a lot of your journey we'll talk about, but first and foremost, Coach, welcome to Lincoln. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great, man. Just feel warm here, man. Just welcoming community. So it's been great.
It's not warm outside
not
compared to San Diego, but it's certainly warm feelings. And so how have the practices been? You've been here for a little bit now, just observing the guys. I know you're getting settled, but what's that introductory process been like with the players?
Yeah, it's been spirited, to say the least. It is Big Ten football at its finest. So smash mouth, a lot of contact, a lot of getting after it. It's refreshing. It's been really fun.
And of course, you're a Michigan guy, played there. What's it like to be back in the Big Ten now?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, this is where my roots are. You know, this brand of ball, and obviously in this conference, and it's been some years since I've been in it. But you know, I just feel right at home. I just feel like this is where God wants me. So.
Talking with Roy Manning, and you'll be here coaching the defensive edge players. So here, I know Husker fans are looking to get after the quarterback a little bit more. San Diego State, you had a lot of success, and you know, you've had a lot of success coaching in your career. What's the key to maybe taking that next step? Personnel, we don't necessarily know 100% of who's going to be here. That's just the nature of college football now. But what's sort of the key to maybe changing the culture here to get after the quarterback a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it's just a mindset, mentality, a belief. You know what I mean? I think just being here, quick observation in 4 or 5 days, there's no lack of talent here. I think it's just a matter of developing guys and putting them in a position so they can maximize on what they're good at and those talents. And you know, belief is a huge thing in our game. And so I think just instilling that into our guys will help.
How about the culture at San Diego State? I mean, you guys got after the quarterback, and you're coaching with Rob Orich, who now is the defensive coordinator. You come over with him. What was it about that group that maybe you try to bring over to Nebraska?
Yeah, I think our first priority was stopping the run. You know, I think, you know, the more opportunities you get to put a team in third and long, the more true drop-back situations you're going to be in for your guys to get after the quarterback. And so, you know, we made it our aim to just kill the run on first and second down, and then it's time to party. You know, kind of force people to play on our terms. And so a lot of those sacks became because we were able to get off the field on early downs and get to those third and mediums, third and longs, and third and extra longs. And our guys, they just pinned their ears back and went and got after it.
So. That's the phrase I was going to bring up. We hear that a lot. Pin your ears back, third and long, and get after it. Coach Orich, what's it like coaching with him? We had him in studio a couple days ago. We aired that interview a couple nights ago here on the show. What's he like? What's it like coaching with him?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, just hit it off with him a year ago and knew really, really quickly in that relationship that this dude is the real deal. He's a top-tier communicator. He knows how to connect people. He knows how to push and pull at the right times. And you know, I think he's one of the best teachers that I've ever been around at all levels. He knows exactly how to teach and get each technique exactly how he needs it to be in a way that's understandable. You know, it's not like 600-level football, you know, to the players, you know, and I think that's important, you know, because those are the guys that's out there playing in real time when the bullets are firing, like, and so it's relaying the information to them in a way that they can execute and play fast and not slow them down. And I think he's like top tier at getting that done.
What would you say in terms of the defense? You mentioned the identity, stopping the run on first and second down. Yeah. What does the defense look like? I know we saw a lot of, you know, 4-2-5 base. What can we expect of the defense is going to look like on film from sort of just, I guess, the tactical perspective of football?
No doubt. We're a four down operation. And, you know, we have different fronts and packages and things of that nature. But, you know, we want to be a four down operation, living in kind of a quarters defense, you know, so a commitment, obviously, to, you know, having extra hats and making sure we do a great job of stopping the run game and trying to make teams one dimensional. You know what I mean? I think I heard many, many years ago, you know, from I think it was Brett Bielema talked about the offensive mindset of being able to run the ball and, you know, making it very hard on teams if you're able to establish the run. And we're the antithesis of that. You know, we want to stop the run and force people to be in situations where they have to pass the ball and they have to drop the quarterback back and again, play into our hands as we look at it. And so that's kind of who we are. And I think, you know, above everything, we're going to be sound, you know, and guys are going to know where they're fitting and why they're fitting there. And, you know, we're going to be creative and be exotic, but we're not going to do that and not be sound and have guys, you know, and you know, put them in poor situations to fit the run. So
chatting with Roy Manning is going to coach the edges here at Nebraska. Energy, what's your coaching, teaching style like? Can we expect? We had Jeep in here the other day, too. You could see his energy. I think we could see your energy as well. It's sort of a prerequisite to be a coach at this level. Is your energy high all the time? What's that like?
All the time. You know, I talk to my group about chasing edges, right? We're trying to find those edges wherever they are, whether that's in the meeting room of how we can be better, how we can take a step there. If it's in warm-ups or walkthroughs or stretch lines, we're chasing edges. Like in everything we're doing, we understand that, you know, there's a prerequisite to be here, but then we got to go, you know, further than that. And so sometimes I use the acronym of climbing, you know, committing to the process, laying it on the line every day, investing in the details, making an impact, and being the best version of ourselves. So we're climbing in everything we do, and that's on the field, that's off the field, that's in the classroom. And I think that you'll be successful if you kind of have that mindset on and off the field.
I think what's unique about you is obviously you have the NFL experience too, and you can go to a player and say, this is what it takes to get to that next level because I've done it. You have the proof to say that you've done it. What is it? What does it take when guys come up to you? Deson's going to put his name in there for the NFL draft, and maybe we could talk a little bit about him. But what does it take for these guys to take that next step to the next level?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, you have to have a good body of work. You know what I mean? You have to be realistic about, hey, this league is the best football players in the entire world. You know what I mean? So you got to have that mindset that you need to figure it out before you get to that step, or it's probably too late. And, you know, there's always somebody better than you, right? So you have to have that workmanlike approach to never be satisfied, to always believe there's more that you can be doing. There's always, you know, again, edges to chase and inches to be looking for. And I think the thing, in my opinion, that separates college from the pros is just a mentality and a mindset. You know, this is grown men stuff now at that level. These are men, and they're married, and they got families and wives and kids, and it's a different mindset. It is work, but it's also someone's livelihood and their ability to put food on the table. And so it's a serious approach. And, you know, some guys innately have that. Some guys develop that. And some guys figure it out. And so I think that's the biggest learning lesson that I try to instill on the guys is just the amount of sacrifice and preparation that you have to put in and understand that in the NFL, rent is due every day. You know, some days you show up and the guy's locker next to you is cleaned out. And, you know, that's the reality of that league. You know, they're only going to come on, you know, ask you to do it so many times. You don't have all the mulligans and the bad days at that level. And so you have to be wired the right way.
Who are some of the guys maybe now in the NFL or in NFL past that you look at and say, that guy's special, that maybe you show some tape to the current guys and say, hey, this is what you should try to achieve. Watch this tape of this NFL guy. Who are some of the players that stand out there?
Yeah, no doubt. First one comes to mind is Max Crosby. Like,
yeah.
I mean, arguably the best motor in football, you know, and he has all these different skill sets and length and, you know, all the bag of pass rush moves. But when you turn on the tape, his effort is what sticks out and what kind of separates him in a league full of talented guys. So I'm always big on those high motor, high effort guys, because I do think that's a separator at that level. And then, you know, the other side of that is just the cerebral part of it. Like the guys that commit, I think about like Luke Kuechly, you know, or, you know, Ray Lewis calling out plays before the offense snaps the ball. Like there's a commitment level to be the best student of the game that you can be. You know, there's some guys that play in that league not because of their athletic prowess, but because they're so dang smart, and they anticipate plays, and they know, you know, the checks, they know the run game, they know the route progressions of the offense, and they're able to play faster. Yeah. And so it's kind of twofold, you know, and so our guys that are wake up and win a genetic lottery, I'm on those guys about, yeah, you have to be great technician now, because I know you're athletically ahead, but now you have to be a great technician. Or, hey, now you have to know the game better. And so I think we all can do more and find ways to just improve and maximize who we are.
Chatting with Roy Manning's coaching the edges now here at Nebraska. You've had a chance to – we had Coach Roland here you know, earlier last week. And for him, he had his he had the hat on backwards and everything. Coach Matt Rhule is a little bit different than head coach Matt Rhule. So what your experience of him coaching the defensive tackles? You got Phil Simpson in there as well. What's that relationship been like?
It's been awesome, man. True ball coach. You know what I mean? I think that in my experience, that's what all head coaches miss, is just getting down in the weeds and actually coaching a position. And so seeing Coach Rhule out there, man, in pre-practice, getting after guys on the sled with the hat to the back, I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I imagine that's who he is at his core, man. He's a ball coach, you know, that happens to be the head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting, and I think that sends a clear message to the guys, you know what I mean, that, hey, I'm in this thing with you. You know, we're going to go on this journey to greatness together. It's not just me being out in front telling guys, come on, it's me behind you, kind of servant leadership, right? Pushing you forward, like, hey, this is where we're going. I'm gonna take these steps with you. You know what I mean? And so it's been super, super exhilarating just to see him and his coaching style just in the last 4 or 5 days. I mean, who wouldn't want to play for that guy? You know, if I'm a player, 18 years old, I want to play for that guy. You know what I mean? And so I'm excited, really excited.
Who are some of your coaching mentors along the way? I mean, you have a lot of stops, obviously, Oklahoma, Washington State, USC. You know, Lincoln Riley's a name that pops out just top of mind. But who are some of the guys that you've coached with that you consider mentors?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you know, my dad. You know, my dad kind of coached me my whole life in every sport and just kind of, you know, instilled in me early on just the mentality of, like, outworking people and you know, just doing more and just what it takes, you know what I mean? And not having to be necessarily the best, but having the mindset to be the best and to be, you know, just a worker. Same with my high school coach, Don Durrett, you know, same way, you know, just rinse due every day. I mean, just never taking it easy, no tier system of, you know, I played with a lot of, you know, NFL guys on my high school team, but he treated us all the same and just, you know, you earn your keep and all those things. And then, you know, Lloyd Carr had a huge, huge impact on, you know, just my development as a football player, but as a man, you know, some of those values of beginning with the end in mind, you know, the team, you know, just so many just life mantras to live by. I truly did learn in college under Coach Lloyd Carr. So, he had probably the largest impact on me in that way. And then getting a coach, and I try to take something from every person I've worked for and worked under. You know, Butch Jones gave me my opportunity, you know, as a grad assistant, as a full-time coach, and he baptized me, man. You know, I learned very quick, you know, you ain't an NFL guy, you ain't some hot shot, like, you know, being a GA and doing whatever it takes and, you know, running errands and staying late and not leaving before my, you know, coaches left. And I remember just sitting around like, hey, man, it's 5, 6 o'clock. What else is there to do? And I didn't have a clue, you know, about, you know, what it really takes to stay in the office late and do more and find things to do, because there's always more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on to Brady Hoke and, you know, was a Big Ten guy who, you know, I knew as a player, you know, and then I have an opportunity to work for him again. And so I've taken something from everyone, you know, Coach Leach, you know, rest in peace, you know, of doing it his way. And, you know, there's more than one way is to skin a cat, you know, and to have success. On to Chip Kelly, who I learned a lot from in a short amount of time. And then, you know, Lincoln Riley. I hope I'm not missing anybody, but I've been fortunate, you know, to be around great football minds and great people and people that have different philosophies on football and how they see the game, how they run their football program. And I truly try to embrace that. I've learned to be a good soldier wherever you are. Be all in, be where your feet are, and just find ways to come up with solutions to help and enhance. And so I've been very lucky and blessed in my career. And so I appreciate each and every person that's given me an opportunity.
Final one, Coach, is as we welcome you to Lincoln, you're a four-sport athlete in high school. You're in the Saginaw Sports Hall of Fame. Were you better at another sport? Was baseball better for you than football? Or was football always the number one sport for you in terms of what you were best at?
Yeah, by far, baseball.
Okay.
By far. That was the first.
Position?
I played center field.
That's where they put the best guys.
Yeah.
Center field and shortstop.
I had great closing speed. I tell everybody I wasn't 240, 50 pounds back then, So I was lean, mean, and could cover a lot of ground out there. But no, that was the first sport my dad started me on. I just loved everything about baseball. I just loved the craft. And, I wanted to be great at hitting and fielding and just, all of those different things. And that was my dream, really. You know what I mean? And then, as I grew and got older and, obviously got into all the different sports, I thought I was pretty good at all of them. But if you ask me, I say, yeah, baseball is my best sport. And so I made a commitment, I think my last year, to, just kind of focus more on football. Obviously, earned a scholarship to play at Michigan. And I said, hey, I'm gonna just put all my eggs in this basket, going into college, and ran some track and did some things. And, and that's why I am the way I am now. And, I love multiple sport athletes because I think you can learn some different transferable skills and kind of get a little more well-rounded as an athlete when you're asked to do different things in those different sports. So
yeah, it's great to learn more about you. And, I'd love to see you take some hacks during the spring. Get out there to the baseball park, take some swings, and shag some fly balls. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I know the fans are excited to have you. The players are excited to have you. I see you out of practice. I can see the energy here. I know the fans are going to love this interview. Roy Manning, coaching the Edges now here at Nebraska. Welcome to Lincoln, and we look forward to talking more.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Roy Manning. We're back with more after this on the show.